What I'm titling this message today, you can't give what you don't have. That's sort of an oxymoron, right? But think about it. You can't give what you don't have. There's a lot of times we get in situations where we desire to be able to give, but we don't have anything to give. And we're going to be talking, because of the word of the year to us in 1 Corinthians 13 was about loving and about what love is. And so what I wanted to share with you today is this. For the most part, 99% of the people, when you hear the word love, it is really a human connection. It's a phileo love. It's not an agape love. It's not a selfless or an unconditional love. It's a love that we can love one another as long as you don't mistreat me and you're not ugly to me. It's conditional. And what happens is, how do you get the agape love? How do you get selfless love, or how do you get that love that's unconditional? Well, guess what? The Father's got to give it to you. These are gifts. Faith is a gift. Grace is a gift. Love is a gift, because Yahweh is love. If Yahweh doesn't give you the love, you can't give it. So what I wanted to do is, I'm going to go through a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to have Jack come up. Let's go to John chapter 21 first, and I'm not going to linger here. I'm just going to read these three verses, and then I'm going to go to Revelation 2, because I want to have to balance this up. What happens is when you get into a message about love, the next thing you do, you will get locked into what you know, and that's the human side of it, and you will start feeling condemned, and you will start doing what you're not supposed to do. And this is where I'm going with this. If our Heavenly Father, who created us, He sent His Son, and He paid a price for us, He paid the ultimate price so we wouldn't have to pay it. So who's got the say-so in the matter? He does. He has the say-so in the matter. If you walk down this aisle, or if you were in wherever you were at in a hotel, it doesn't matter. Whenever you give in your life to Yeshua, whenever you give in your life to your Savior, you said, and I said, whatever He says, I will do, with no conditions and no strings attached. Later in life, as we grow, we start adding strings to these things. And we start bartering and doing different things. And we want to do some things that the flesh desires to do. And the Father said, that's not acceptable. Because why? Because He knows us. He created us. The flesh will always get us in trouble. It will always lead us in a slow fade. It will always lead us back down the road which we were delivered from. So to know this and understand this, a lot of times people struggle with love. Who do I love and who do I not love? So number one, we have to love what Yahweh loves. And what do you have to hate? What He hates. You don't hate what you want to hate. You have to hate what He desires to hate. You hate sin. There's something about fellowship. There's a way, and that's just why the Torah is so important. If congregations or churches across the world throw out the Old Testament, then they don't know how to love one another, because it gives you the guidelines of how we are to be as a community of people, how we're to treat one another, and then how we are to love those outside of the community, and then love the enemy even. He shows you how to do that. But you don't do it all the exact same. Okay? It's not all the exact same. This is Yeshua. He's resurrected. He's talking to Peter because He told Peter something. He says, I'm going to a place and you can't go. And He says, I'll die for you. And He says, what? Before the cock crows, what? You're going to deny me, or you're going to deny me three times. And naturally, Peter's zeal, he said, ain't no way that's going to happen. But we know the story of what happened. So now He's coming to him. Before He leaves and before the Holy Spirit is given, He's ministering to Peter something. And this is where we get this agape and we get this selfless love versus phileo love, which is a human or friendly type love. Because this is really important, guys, for us to know, because the Father desires to give this to us. He has given it. He's made it available, but we have to learn to receive it. So he said, when they had finished their breakfast, Yeshua said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you agape? In other words, do you have a selfish love for me more than these? And he said to him, yes, master. You know that I have this human love for you. That's phileo, when he answered. And he said to them, tend to my lambs. He asked him again a second time, do you agape me? Do you have a selfish love for me? And he says, yes. So Peter wasn't connecting. He wasn't understanding. And this is why this came to me. He's saying, Peter, do you have a selfless love for me? But Peter wasn't connecting. He was just thinking all love is created equal. And all love is not created equal. Because how many people in here love everybody in here equally? Don't show, don't lie, don't have to have a counseling session. What I'm saying is there are some people in here you love more than others. You do. I'm just saying, or we might say that you might like people more than, you might gel with people more than others. So let me say it like this. And if the answer is yes, you've arrived. But would you take a bullet for everyone in here? Would you die for your name? Would you die for one another in here? Or would you have to think about, really, I would die for my wife, or I would die for Mark, or I would die, but I don't know about dying for Sandra. You know what I'm saying? Because she's my lovely sister-in-law. And she's not in here. That's why I picked on her. But really and truly, and I love Doug and Sandra. And I would. But what I'm saying is I'm just throwing this out here, because if the answer is yes, this is where you need to be. Would you be willing to die and lay down your life and give it all up? It's done. It's over with. In an instant, in a moment's time, somebody walks through here and says, somebody's going to die or I'm going to kill all of them. Who's going to raise their hand and be the first one in line? That's the love that we're talking about here. This is the love that Yeshua had for mankind and for his people Israel. Okay, I'm trying to keep this in, put this in perspective. If you have to hesitate and think, then we're not there yet. You see what I'm saying? Because Yeshua was slain when? Before the foundations of the world. He had had his mind made up, but yet, you know what? When he was in the garden, he had to go through the motions. See, you can think you have your mind made up, but it better be made up, because if it's not made up, whenever you're tempted and tested in the moment, most of the time we fail that test. We start, well, let's see now if there might not be another way. You know, we start trying to wiggle, find some wiggle room. The Father wants us to be able to, in a community, to be able to love one another with no wiggle room. Okay, that's the love that he's talking about here. So finally in verse 17, on the third time, he said, Simon, son of John, he says, do you phileo? Do you just love me with a brotherly kind of love? And Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Master, you know all things and you know I phileo. You know I love you in this human kind of way. And Yeshua said, then tend my sheep. There was three times that Peter denied the Messiah, and there was three times he was asked these questions to be able to redeem. But whenever the Holy Spirit was given, then in Acts, I guarantee you, Peter then learned and understood the difference between these two types of love. But you have to be taught that. It's just not natural. We are a very humanistic society today. Okay? And this tolerance and all of these things sometimes can blind us to where we don't really hate what Yahweh hates and love what he loves. But we have to stand up and be able to do that in a way that we don't take out a 9mm and shoot the offender. Amen? Because there's ways to do it. All right, let's go to Revelation chapter 2. And this is where I want to balance this up. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 through 21. It says, and the angel of the church of Thyatira write, the word of the Son of Elohim, who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet is like the burnished bronze. And this is what he's saying, and I want you to listen to this, because we just went through this in a series of teachings. I know your works. I know your love. And that word love is agape there. He's telling this church here, this congregation here, He's telling them, I know you operate as a community. You operate here. You're not, you're mature. You're operating here. I know your works. I know your love and your faith and your service, your patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed your first. Now, this shows a congregation that's on the rise, it's on the move, and are doing really, really, really well. But yet he told him something. But, verse 20, I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel. Now, Jezebel has died many moons ago, many Rosh Kodeshes ago. But yet, that's a spirit. And that spirit still lives today. And what is that spirit? Who calls herself a prophet or a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her a time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Now, what is happening here? Just what we talked about the last few weeks. Mixture. There is a mixture of worship going on. Even though their works were good and their hearts were good and their love was good and they were doing the right things, they still had the sins of Jeroboam following them. And the Father's saying, you got to get rid of all of it. Because if you don't, that seducing spirit will cause you to fall in the end. You're growing. It's showing a congregation and a group of people. I believe this group of people that's in this place, we're growing and we're moving forward. But we got to make sure that we don't have a seducing spirit that comes in and trips us up. And that's why we have to do watchmen on the wall. That's why we have to guard and keep. This is why we have to do what we do. All right, so I'm going to have Jackson, if you will, come on up here. I'm going to ask him this question. All right, now, do you have any money?
No, sir.
You don't have no money on you?
No, sir.
That's a good deal. All right, so I just asked him, did he have any money on him? And he said no. But I want you to go give somebody in this room $5. Can you do it? The answer is no. Because why can he not give $5? Because he doesn't have $5. All right? So he's representing us, and I'm going to represent the Father which is in heaven. Only time I'll get to do that. What I'm going to do, Jackson, is I'm going to give you two $5 bills. But on one condition. You have to give at least one of them away. Okay? He had nothing. And he knows that I have a command to give him something. He has a command to show love. He has a command to give it. But if he doesn't have it, he's got to learn to receive it. And when he's ready to receive it, it's up to me to be able to give it. And that's what the Father does. He always makes sure that he equips us to be able to do the task that he asked us to do. So here's the deal. This is yours. Condition is you have to give one away. You can give both away if you want to. That's up to you. But you have to give one on your way back to wherever you're going to be seated. Somebody in here, not your brothers and sisters. Because I asked the brothers and sisters, would you be willing to do this? They said, ain't no way I'm getting up there. And I said, so you just pick somebody as you get ready to go back and sit down. And that's probably going to be a hard thing because all your little buddies are going to say, why don't you give it to me? But that's what you have to deal with on your way down. And you can give one or you can give two or you can do whatever the Father leads you to do. So I use this little deal right here. And it's for this reason. Is he still thinking? That's right. Pray about it. Hey, Jackson, if it takes you all service, I'm good. But when I say amen up here, that $5 got to be gone. Okay. And I appreciate what he's doing because you know what? Really and truly, that's not an easy thing to do. That's a hard little decision because he loves everybody in here. Who does he give it to? He'll make the right choice. But you know what? That's the way the Father works with us. But guys, I can't give love if I don't have love to give. Do you know the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, and peace. That's our relationship between us and the Father. But do you know he gives me joy? And he's the one that gives me peace. That's not a human thing. Love's not a human thing. Because I can tell you, if I turn around and if I sit here and say, man, I love Torrington. He's my man. Give me some skin. Help me out a little bit. You know, we do all of these things like that. But then he goes around, and I'm over here, and he tells his brother, he said, you know what? That's a sorry dude. Now, if I don't hear that, am I affected? No. But what if I hear that? But what I'm saying is, all of a sudden, are we in that, all that mode? No. See, something happens. Guys, the love that I'm talking about has to be genuine, and it can't be to where I sit here and I pour out and I say, you know what, I love him. And then he talks about me behind my back, and it changes the way I feel. That ain't the love that the Father's talking about here. Because you know what? On the 10th of the first month, Yeshua is on a donkey. And what are the people saying? Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. Our deliverer, praise be our King, the King, the King. 4 days later, what are they saying? Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. What did he do to them in 4 days? To go from you're our King, praise be the Father, to you need to die a death. That's people. That's what he's dealing with. That's the fallen nature of man, and that's how fickle we are, that when one moment we can praise him. But what happened to these people? They let a few religious people change their way of thinking about Yeshua. And then they was crying, crucifying. So did they have the Yahweh kind of love? Absolutely not. But I can tell you his mother did. And Mary Magdalene did. There were some of them that had that because they were there. They didn't run off like the other disciples. They were there witnessing what was going on. That's why I'm saying, painting the picture, this is the type of love that the Father wants us to have to one another. All right, let's go to Matthew 22. There's a lot of these scriptures that you know. I'm just trying to put them really in a... this really hit me hard. You know, because naturally, all of the messages that I minister is dealing with me first. It has to deal with me first. Just like Yeshua. Whenever he lived his life and he went to Yochanan, went to John the Baptist, and he was baptized, and the Holy Spirit fell on him. His ministry started. But what did the Holy Spirit do? He led him immediately from there, where? Right into the wilderness, fasting 40 days and night to be tempted by Satan himself, by HaSatan himself. Yeshua's life and everything that he did, we're going to follow suit through the same testings, and we're going to be built the same way. So that we can know, in the church world that I come from, it was like this. When something's not going right, you blame the devil. You blame the devil for everything. And we give the devil way too much credit because a lot of the problems that I had was self-inflicted. It was wrong choices and bad decisions that Mark made, not what the devil made me do. That's a good, easy thing to say, he made me do all of these things, but he cannot inflict over my will, just like Yahweh's not going to take over my will. He's going to sit here and he's going to bring conviction. He brings some, but sooner or later, I've got to make a decision to do one or the other. What master are you going to serve? It's that. So what I wanted to show here in this is, you know, these scriptures says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law, in the Torah? And he said to him, you shall what? Agape, you shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall agape, you shall love, selfless love. He's telling us that we should have this selfless love for our neighbor, and we shall love them as ourselves. Because why? On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Do you know this whole book? If we don't have that love for him, and if I don't have that love for you, this is useless. Because it says that love and this love depends all the law and the prophets. If I don't have this, I can't use this. How can I love you when it tells me to do hard things for you? How can I do when it tells me that when you got somebody you don't like and you're going down the road and you see his animal in a ditch and he's trapped, what are you to do? You to stop, get out and help him and bring that animal back to his house. This is your enemy he's talking about. If I don't have this love going on, guess what? I ain't stopping. I'm not stopping. So the first thing that we need to make sure is believers that we have these relationships pure. Because if we do, this is easy to follow. So what am I saying? You know why this is hard to follow a lot of times? Because we don't have our love relationship right. We don't have a selfless love. We're phileoing each other. Human relationship. We're a friendly love with one another. I like Dennis until he beats me in tennis. You know what I'm saying? But these are the things. Every now and then he'll sandbag and let me catch up. Is that not the way the world operates? So we have to be really, I mean, this is for us to examine ourselves in this. So to understand what? All of the law and commandments depend, are we operating in agape love, a selfish love between us and the Father? And guess what? He's the one that has to give that to us. Because I can't love you unless he instills it in me to do it the right way. Because why? The flesh, Mark still wants to do what Mark wants to do. Mark still has feelings. Mark still thinks that whenever he walks in the room, they're like, they're not going to say, I can't believe that's him. Oh, goodness, he showed up. But do you know that everybody in here, believe it or not, there's probably somebody out there when you show up, probably just don't like you. You're probably not their most favorite person. But there's probably something when you walk into a room, somebody that's in life is going, man, I wish they wouldn't have invited him. You know what I'm saying? Because that's a human situation. But do you know what? If we receive this gift of the love that the Father has for us, and we have to receive it, you receive it just like that $5 that I gave him. I gave him those two. And whenever he gives it, the Father gives it to me. Does he give it to me to hold it? No, he gives it to me so I can love you back. Because if I can't love him, I sure can't love you. Amen. And that's why this is really, really, really important. I know we think this is basic, but I see too many believers not operating in this. I see too many schisms in the body of Messiah. Not only do you see it from one denomination to the next, you can see it from this side of the congregation to this side, or the front pew to the back pew in certain places. You see what I mean? So, all right, let's go to 1 John 3. Because I really wanted, as you go into 1 John 3, I just really want you to think about this. The situation I told you about Passover. How people can pay great homage and love and appreciation for Yeshua, and 4 days later say, crucify him. That happened, and I hate to say it happens today. But that's what I wanted us to, I mean, think about it. Would we do that? The thing about it is I want to stand up here and tell you there's no way I'd do that. Words and influence of spiritual leaders can mess your mind up. Look what's going on today in politics. Between Republican, Democrat, they're just totally oppositional. They're just resisting one another. They're not listening to what the other one said. One will sit here and say, well, I'll give you, we want 600,000 or say 700,000 Dreamers to become citizens. And then the Republican says, I'll give you 1.8 million. Oh, no, you're not. You're not giving us nothing. Well, you just demanded 700,000. He's going to give you 1.8. Well, no, because we thought of it first. Give me a break. People, that's what we're dealing with. 1 John 3:11. This is a message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should do what? Love one another. And that word is agape there, a selfless love. It says, we should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? You know what? That's a great question. Why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's was righteous. Think about this, all right? Cain. It's really easy to sit here and say Cain was of the evil when he murders his brother. We're going to capitalize on the word brother here, okay? I want you to notice something, and this is the way we're looking. Everybody that's within this building that belong to River of Life and is functioning here and walks here and flows and all of the above are brothers and sisters in Messiah. Other people all over the world and congregate that believe in Yeshua, yes, we're all brothers and sisters in Messiah, okay? But what I want us to do is I just want, for this teaching's sake, for let's just concentrate of what's going on in here, okay? So we don't get lost out. Cain was a physical brother to Abel. But yet, Cain did not love his sibling with selfless love. But yet, Abel did. And why did Abel? Because Abel brought the first and the best to the father. Because guess who gets to eat of the first and the best? His brother Cain does. But what did Cain do? Cain just brought from the field leftovers or whatever. Might have been good, but it wasn't the first and the best. It was. So guess what? It's not that I don't love you. I don't love him either. Because I ain't giving him my best. I keep my best for me. That's unrighteousness. That can't happen. I got to be able to, when something happens to me, whenever I get, I got to be able to have the heart to give you the first and the best. And I got to be able to be satisfied with what I've got left. You see what I'm saying? Because what happens is it keeps you from hanging on to stuff. Because if you say, this is the best marker in the world, you got a choice. This is the second best marker in the world, or the 10th. Now, you don't know which one's the best, but I do. The deal is which one do I give you? That's the hard issue. If I give you this one, you'll never know which is the best. But who knows? He knows. And he knows that that's an unrighteous heart, because guess what that did? He exposed him, and what did he do? He ended up taking it out on somebody else, because you can't kill him. But really, who was Cain mad at? He wasn't mad at Abel. He was mad at Yahweh, because he didn't accept his gift. Because he told him, he said, sin is crouching at the door, you master it. He says, why is your countenance fallen? Because he was mad at him. He wasn't mad at his brother. But who did he end up taking it out on? His brother. Do you know that the most of the time, now we're getting tight. You know the most of the time when people lash out here is because we got an issue here. Because you're mad, because you didn't get something the way you liked it. He didn't give you the house you wanted. He didn't give you the car you wanted. He didn't give you the whatever you wanted. And the next thing you know, you got this, you're mad here, and you take it out on your brethren. That's why we got to make sure that we got, and you know what? And people, if somebody lashes out at you, let me just share it with it like this. Me and her is married, in case y'all don't know, because a lot of times when we go out and eat, she's on one side of the room, I'm on the other, talking. Here's the deal. Tammy will tell you that I've never had an argument with her. Now, she's had plenty with me, okay? I don't start them. I'm going to polish that halo. All right. Now, everybody in here who's married, you've had an argument or two. And I can promise you that most of the arguments have been very, very ugly. But does it mean that you don't love one another? No. But what happens is if you let things like that cause a divorce, then you didn't have a selfless love to your mate. You had a human, in other words, I'm going to marry Tammy, but Terry, there's certain things I don't like, but I know if I marry her, I'll change her. Do we make these deals sometimes? No, don't go there. So what happens is we get married and she ain't changing. And then one day she's going to say, well, look, you loved me back then like this. What's the deal now? Do you see how this works? The thing is the body of the Messiah, we do this. Sometimes we may lash out at one another. It doesn't mean that we don't love one another. But it may mean, because this is what Yeshua said. This is what Paul said. Husbands, we're to love our wives, how? As Messiah loved who? And what did he do for them? He died. You see how this works and how this builds? It is sacrificial love. If you see people that there's a problem, and where does that problem usually start? This relationship is not right in the individual's lives. If you can straighten this out, we can usually straighten this out. And I'm not a marriage counselor or anything like that, but the word itself would tell me, if this relationship's good, this should be good. Now, we may have to work on this because you go in the bathroom and there's a lot of hairspray around. You may have to work on these things. But the thing about it is this relationship's good. You could work this out. Amen? If this relationship is good, I can work it out with you. And you can work it out with me. But if I've only got a human love going on this way, I'll never wake it. Because all it's going to do is, I'll love you if you do what I want to do. In other words, I make the rules on the playground. I want to play marbles, let's play marbles. I'm tired of marbles, kick the marbles off, let's play jacks. You know what I mean? That can't be that way. It has to be us together. That's right, give and take. It has to be us together what we want to do. Verse 13, it says, do not be surprised, brothers. Now, this is why I want to say this. You're going to hear this word brothers. He's not talking about people outside of people that are believers. He's talking about believers, okay? This is what John is saying. Do not be surprised, brothers and sisters in Messiah, that the world hates you. Why would the world hate you? Because they don't have that love relationship this way, and they definitely ain't going to have it this way, okay? We know that we have passed out of death into life because why? Because we, agape, we love the brothers. This is why I'm ministering this. I want you to listen to this. We know that we passed out of death into life. Stop right there. Most of us believe this, and this is a true statement. I passed from death into life because I've accepted Yeshua as my Lord and Savior. Amen? I believe that. He don't say that. Listen to what he is saying. He's saying, because we love the brothers, we know that we pass out of death into life because we have a selfless relationship with our brothers. Whoever does not love your brothers abides in what? Death. And that ain't a physical death he's talking about. That's an eternal. Do you see how important it is for the body of Messiah to have a relationship? Because he didn't say right there, we pass from death in life because I've accepted Yeshua. He didn't mention that there. We know that's the truth because we know it's other places. But what I'm saying here is this. This is how important it is for us to love our brethren. That we need to work at these relationships. Amen? Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you that know murder has eternal life abiding in him. But by this, we know love, that he laid down his life, and this is what he was talking about, and this is what we said earlier. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. This is that selfish love that we have. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother, talking about people, the brethren, in need, the household of faith first, not to say that you cannot help people outside. You do that. But you don't help them outside forsaking what's going on inside. Yet closes his heart against him. How does Yahweh's love abide in him? He says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Let's go to 1 John 4. And we're going to finish up in 1 John 4. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For why? For love is from Yahweh. I'm just showing you here in these scriptures, it says that this very love is from Yahweh himself. He imparts it to us to be able to, he gives it. I guess I'm trying to say it like this. There's nothing within Mark McClendon that can help you, that can do anything from you unless the Father gives it to me. He gives me talents. In other words, whenever if I'm here to help Mark, if I do this and if I show a good deed, he can say, I appreciate what you've done, but he is to praise the Father in heaven that somebody was sent here to work on my AC, or somebody was sent here because I needed help above what I can do for myself. You see what I mean? Somebody was sent your way. You can say thank you very much, but you praise, thank you for sending somebody to help me in this way. That's why I was saying here, and he's saying that for the love, for this love, he's telling us that we need to love one another, but this love comes from Yahweh himself. And whoever loves has been born of Yahweh, and he knows him. John 15, I think it's 15, it says, those who love the Father will do what? Keep his commandments. But you see in here, in this scripture, that love is a gift that he gives us. Anyone who does not love does not know Yahweh, because Yahweh is love. You can't separate that. In this, the love of Yahweh was made manifest among us, that Yahweh sent his only Son into this world so that we might live, how? Through him. It still shows us that we have to live through him. It still shows us that he gives us this love. He still shows us how much impacted we are, that we can't take credit for doing good things. Because you know what? He enables us. You take like Richard. Richard can do some high-tech, high-zoo, all this internet and all of this stuff. And I can tell you, when I first bought a computer, it was as big as this board. You know what I'm saying? And now they got little bitty things like that. It is so beyond me. And the thing is, I'm not going to YouTube it. I'm not going to try to find out how to do it. Who am I calling? Richard. And I'm saying, Richard, can you help me? Oh, yeah. I said, are you going to help me? It's done. Okay. You know, but the thing is, amen, use the body to be able to do that instead of being frustrated. But you can see how love, and it's through him, because within us, the Father gave him the talents to be able to do that. I can do electrical work, some. I can throw a breaker. You know what I'm saying? But like I've told you before, I can't do carpenter work. Amen. I can't do sheetrock work. I can tear up sheetrock, can't fix it. Like I've said before many times, you can say, Arnold or any one of the carpenters or the Ralph, yeah, any of them can sit here and say, build me a corner, build me a corner, or build me a tee. First thing I'm going to say is, show me how. And he's going to show me, this is what you do. You take this board, this board, this board, you nail them together. I got that. Now he can go, I need 15 of them. That's what I can do. Now, tomorrow, build me a corner. Show me how. Because you know what? I have no desire to know what a corner is. I have a desire to help you. I have no desire to be a master carpenter. It's not in me. At my age now, if something comes in here, something's got to leave. It is full. It is full. And it is not diodes. It's tubes. You know what I'm saying? I got the old school stuff. It's tubes up here. It's not all that high. I know, fuses and breakers. Yeah, instead of breakers, I got fuses screwed in. That's right. I just need to be rewired. But really and truly, I'm just saying there's certain times, I don't know. You know, Mr. Pete's a carpenter. He's done a lot of things. He knows how to do all of his things. That's right. Him and Turner and them, they came in here and they built this. And Kyle and all, I mean, they knew how to do the metal. And, man, we was handing them. And we couldn't handle the metal studs fast enough with them little guns. And they was going to town on this stuff. And then, but it come a time, and I think it was maybe a brother-in-law or somebody that may have come in here, and Gage's brother came in here, because there's an angle. How do you get from here to here to here to make equal tiles here and all can go down? YouTube ain't going to help me doing that. But see, her brother, they knew. They just come in here and started popping. I'm like, good grief. I mean, they're just throwing this stuff. Now, we came in and laid out the lights. Ain't they pretty? And I had a hand in that because I know what I'm doing with electrical and lighting and putting things together. But what I'm saying is that's how the body works together. And it's just like what you said, Dodie, you're right. It just comes a time I just would dread it to have to try to sit here and figure out an angle. I mean, these angles here, you just think that this is easy to come down here and put a 45 because we knew that we wanted to put our screens here. And I said, you know, Pete Kyle, I said, can we do this? He said, absolutely. He didn't even bat at it. And then he said, we can do this, this, and this. What'd you say? You know, and it's just like, you do it. And I trust him. And you know what? And they did a fantastic job. Amen. They did a great job. They did a great job how they could come in and do. But he had a lot of help. We come in here and we were feeding them. We feed the beast. And then we get to get them. And they done a great job. And then we come in here with sheetrock. I've only laid sheetrock this way. I've never stood sheetrock up. And they said, we're going to stand it up. We're going to go down through there. I said, well, you know. Because why? Because I saw it done a certain way. I thought that was the only way to do it. But you know what? I trusted them. And they said this. They said, you know what? The walls has got to be straight because when you stand it up, it can do this down the wall if it ain't done right. And you know what? I trusted them. Man, I'm going down there looking down that wall. But you know what? They did it. And you look at the walls. They're straight all the way down. But you know what? We have to trust one another. We have to trust people in their crafts, in their giftings, in their callings. We have to really trust one another. That's what it's really about. Can we question? Absolutely. But just know this. You're talking to experts in their craft, and in like with me, don't know. I have to literally hold the dumb end of the tape. In other words, I hold the tape that's at the little silver piece that's here. Somebody needs to do it, because if you don't, it keeps popping up and rolling that way. I am a great holder. I take pride in holding, but really and truly, I'm going to close with this. We need one another. Loving takes patience, but understanding this, loving one another, we need to make sure. And if we get in our life, if we get in a zone to where we got sources of irritation here, we need to back up. We need to back up. And we need to say, if I got issues, because a lot of times the easiest person in life to deceive is yourself. I mean, it just is. Because when you have no faults, it's hard to see them. But I can promise you, but really and truly, we don't sometimes see our shortcomings like our wife can or whatever. So, but just know that in this love, the reason why I'm saying this is because this is the word for us for the year. Love, proper love, way to love, how to love. And also, as we're going into these feasts and festivals, and which we'll be getting to that in a few weeks. And so my thing is this, let's just keep up the good work at it. Love one another. If there's an issue, let's pray to the Father. Am I missing something here? Because a lot of times I can take something out on my wife, and it's usually, man, I'm mad at him about something. You know, I'm not liking my answer in my prayer time that I got. And I can lash out to who? The one that I love. And that's the way it works. Let's pray. Children will play in the streets of the city. Joy will be heard once again. I am telling all those I am.